This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, online tsn1050.ca. Mail it in Friday, brought to you by sportsmarketplace.ca, the place to buy and sell all things sports. It's where sports fans go to put their stuff on waivers. Brian Hayes, Mike Johnson in here. We're going to get to our Instagram giveaway in just a moment.
Okay.
It's a pretty big giveaway.
What do we got?
So, the Leafs are down in Florida, late February.
Good time to go.
We're asking people to follow us on Instagram, at TSN1050, and at bookseats.com on Instagram. And if you like the post and tag a travel buddy with you, you're going to be involved in this giveaway. And if your name comes up, and I'm going to announce the first name in just a second, that person will have 10 minutes and 50 seconds to call in and claim their prize. Full spring break roadie. Both games, tickets, accommodations, hotels.
Nice.
It's about as good as you can get if you're a hockey fan and if you're just a Canadian and you're looking to get out of the winter.
Do they play in Florida first or Tampa first? Do we know?
I believe they're in Tampa first. I believe they start in Tampa.
All right.
The nightcap.
Is there a day between games? Are they back-to-back?
No, they got a day between.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a Tuesday, Thursday, I believe.
Oh, that's a solid finishing run into Florida.
Does not get any better than that.
No.
And after hopefully a Leaf win,
yes,
and you head out to Miami,
yes,
about 45 minutes away from the rink.
It's worth the drive.
To Acton.
Every time. Every single time.
Is that place still around?
Old Hidehouse?
Yeah. Is the old Hidehouse still around?
I haven't heard an ad for a while, but I like to think so. I grew up on that ad.
It used to be everywhere, that ad.
Yeah.
And we should know, we're in radio and TV, but it was everywhere.
The fact that we both immediately went there, as soon as I said, it's worth the drive.
It's worth the drive to Acton. It's one of the all-time great catchphrases, because if you're of a certain age,
you know it.
If you're 30 or over and you grew up in Southern Ontario, you know that saying. You know exactly what it means. And you could finish somebody's sentence if they say it's worth the drive.
Did you ever make the drive?
I have been there.
To the old Hidehouse?
I've been to the old Hidehouse.
It's like a jacket store, is it not?
It's a timepiece. Dude, it's a timepiece. It's all leather and fur. You walk in there, you're like, where am I and what is happening?
Do you remember fur coats? You might be a little bit too young.
I remember up, fur coats.
And the odd mom would roll in. Occasionally the odd dad, which is even more ridiculous.
The best look ever is the dad in a fur coat.
The dad in a fur coat. Oh, man. My mom used to have one.
Mm-hmm.
And hadn't worn it, obviously, in forever.
Well, now you're risking danger. You're risking like paint being thrown on you.
So when I had kids, she carved up her fur coat to make fur pelts for them to ride around in their little buggies in the winter.
No way. Very cool.
Yes.
Well, maybe she got that at the old Hidehouse.
Maybe she took the drive to Acton.
Graps, look that up, man. Try to find out if there's no way the grappler knows what we're talking about. Do you have any idea what we're talking about? Okay, but I'm asking you a question. It still exists, so shout out.
Okay.
Do you know what we're talking about?
Nope, not an idea.
And you're in your late 20s?
Yes.
Yeah, see there, that's an exact science. I don't need to ask anybody else.
No.
Anybody under the age of 30 has no idea what the old Hidehouse is, but you should.
Check it out.
Shout out.
There it is.
Okay, so here we go. All week long, we've been encouraging listeners to enter for their chance to win two spots on TSN 1050 Supervan, Superfan Spring Break, an ultimate hockey vacation from bookseats.com. Well, Friday is here, and it's time to name our winning follower. This is the handle we're looking for, at Kyle O'Zoles, as I choke on it.
Wow.
Kyle O'Zoles. That's who we're looking for.
Instagram handle.
That is his Instagram handle, at Kyle O'Zoles. You have 10 minutes and 50 seconds to call in. 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Bookseats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world, simplifying the way fans travel. All right, Pierre LeBrun, Hockey Insider, will be calling us in just a moment.
All right.
Probably still hungover from yesterday.
Just in a mood.
Emotionally hungover, because I know him. Every U.S. Thanksgiving, he's a diehard Cowboy fan. He invites people over to his house. I've been a part of it before. Oh. 5-6 years ago, I got the invite. I wasn't working that day for whatever reason. I got down there. It was
big spread?
Big spread.
Yeah.
But he is in his Lazy Boy, in his Cowboy jersey.
I love it.
And he is jacked.
He's in the zone.
And yesterday, my understanding is he had a bunch of people over, a lot of them Bills fans.
Oh.
And there's nothing more depressing than being at someone's house when they're in a mood, like sour and bitter, and you're not sure how you're supposed to handle it.
Well, like, if you're a Bills fan, you're just dancing all over his grave. You couldn't be happier.
True. Yeah, you're gloating.
Yes.
You're openly gloating. But I'll bet you there were more than a few people probably at the party or at his house that didn't really have an affiliation either way.
And now the host is just miserable.
Yeah.
Should I just like slink out of here once he got middle of third quarter?
I think
the game's over.
It's the only move.
I think it is.
Like that game was over by the time the fourth quarter started.
That's not even a goodbye. That's just a slide out the back door.
Yeah. We'll thanks for the invite. I'll send you a text later tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you for inviting me. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Pierre LeBrun. How depressing was your house yesterday afternoon?
No, we had a good time.
Red Come on.
Flowing. No, seriously, we had a good party. I mean, it really makes it easier to take because I'm way more a miserable person because I usually, when the Cowboys are on, I close the door to my home office and I watch the game alone because it's better for everyone. And and then I just start seething and yelling at the TV. When we had the crowd there yesterday, I was very social. I love hosting parties, so... You've been to one of those, Hazen?
I have.
Yeah.
No, and I think the Cowboys won the day I was there.
You might want to think about a return invite then for him, Pierre.
I did invite him, but he had to work.
Yeah, we're on the air yesterday.
Yeah.
Very nerve. Anyway.
I buckled myself with red wine and just tried to pretend that the game wasn't even on by that point.
So Pierre, you work in sports, you get sports, and yet... You are still one of those fans that when things aren't going well, you kind of lose your mind. Seems to be a disconnect there.
It is interesting, MJ, because whenever hockey fans come at me, I'm like, man, like it's just a game.
Exactly.
Like hockey's work for me, right? I'm just so sort of distanced from the emotion of it and sort of go about my job. But when it's the NFL and the Cowboys, I'm not a very sane person, I'll just be honest.
Well, listen, at least they're 6-6, and they're still
in first, amazingly.
Yeah, they're still in first in the division, so they still have more than a chance of making it in. They're probably still in the driver's seat, although Philly's got the Dolphins this weekend, so they'll probably tie them. And the home game coming up, but... There's some comparables between what's probably happening in Dallas and what's happening in Montreal right now, because the Montreal Canadiens are having some issues. They have lost six in a row. Carey Price gave up five again last night. The Boo Birds were out with about 3 minutes left. The building emptied.
Yeah.
And it is getting ugly.
I remember tweeting it when the Leafs lost 6-1 in Pittsburgh. I remember tweeting the Leafs are a mess. I should have just repatriated that tweet and changed the team because that's how the Habs look right now, and it really starts in their own end too. I mean, this is a team that has given up a ton of goals. They're not getting the normal goaltending from Carey Price for starters, but they are so lost in their zone right now. And it's funny because they spent a lot of time on that Monday in practice, a lot of detailed work on transition and their defensive zone coverage. And then next night they go out and get shellacked 8-1 by the Bruins. And, you know, they're dead last in the NHL in the penalty kill. I don't know if a Claude Julien team has ever been dead last in the NHL on the penalty kill throughout his career, right? It's just bizarre. And it really starts there for me.
It's got to be killing Claude Julien because he does pride himself on coaching good defense, Pierre. Now, I think he kind of put it on the players, though, in his postgame presser when he said, you know, he's trying to be sympathetic and understanding and recognizing that it's not going well. But he also said they're not being coached to play this way, implying that they're not executing the system. They're the ones making the wrong decision. So, I mean, what can a coach do in that situation? Or does Mark Bergevin have to get active? He's got cap space to make something else happen, change the roster a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to force a trade, but you're right. I mean, they have the second most cap space in the National Hockey League. Only Columbus has more. And I think at some point, the Habs have to use their leverage on that. Because what you don't want to do for Montreal is wait till February 24th. Because by that point, everyone gets to make a trade, right? Because the later they go in the year, the less amount of cap space that you need. So if you're Montreal, I think you have to act by the end of January in terms of adding a piece or two to your team. Now, here's the brutal truth, though. I don't know if you're Mark Bergevin if you're making that kind of trade if you don't think you're a playoff team.
Right.
So that's the delicate dance here. I mean, listen, they've got a lot of good young players coming. We all know that. One of the top-ranked organizations right now in terms of the pipeline and their youth and all that. I suspect that they don't turn around their season, and it's early yet, but if they don't, you'll start to hear the narrative being about that, about what's coming. But in the meantime, I mean, try selling that to Carey Price and Shea Weber.
Well, that's the whole point, Pierre.
You know, exactly.
Yeah. Like, this team is built largely on the backs of two guys in their 30s making a mm-hmm. lot of money with a lot mm-hmm. of term left. And yeah. it's kind of accepted that by the end of it, it's maybe not going to look so great. Like Price and Weber yeah,
this
in 5 years.
This is when they're supposed to be good.
They're supposed to be, you know, prime
time.
It's
going to get worse later.
Absolutely. And yeah. that's why Price is taking so much heat.
Yeah, Weber's having an excellent year, by the way. I'll tell you who's hoping that Shea Weber doesn't retire early, by the way. It's the Nashville Predators, but we won't get into that.
Right, right.
They are in big trouble with the capture penalties on Shea Weber. No, I mean, listen, I think Dregs mentioned it earlier this week on air about, you know, Taylor Hall, whether or not that would be a potential fit for the Habs. If for no other reason, then the Canadiens could use that kind of injection, but also because they have the cap space, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, you don't want to wait till February for that type of trade if you can help it, because then you got way more competition from teams that suddenly have the cap space to go after them. Whereas, you know, between now and the end of January, there's not a lot of teams that can take on salary. So, again, it comes down to this for me. Does Mark Bergevin believe that one big trade, you know, gets this team back on track? I don't know about that. I really think, quite frankly, that they have to find the solution from within. And they've got a lot of players having off years compared to last year. Max Domi's not been the same player.
No, he hasn't.
That was predictable, you know? Though. They had so many guys have great years last year. Some of them were going to take a step back.
That's right. They had a lot of you worked a lot of their games, MJ. They had a lot of guys have
career years.
Right? And so there's some natural regression happening. But again, it's not really the offense that's their problem. No. As of 3 days ago, they were tied for first in the NHL in 5-on-5 goals. So that's not the issue as much as how they have no clue how to defend right now. And you wouldn't, like, going into this year, if you had to say they're going to be good at this and not so good at the other, would you not have had it the other way around?
Yeah, you would think so, based on, again, Price, Weber, Julian, you know, how they perform. And
Philip Deneau being a terrific two-way center, right?
Right.
And all that.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. And I don't know if a lot of that, guys, is, you know, trying to become a better offensive team and sort of losing the balance here, right?
Right.
In terms of what you need to be. So it's very, very interesting. And it's been a season of incredible up and downs for all kinds of teams. I mean, consider how Dallas and San Jose started the opening month and where they are now. They're right back in the thick of it. Nashville had a great start, and they look a bit lost now. There's been a lot of this all over the league. It's crazy what we know about the Leafs.
With Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. So the Bill Peters situation, I guess, officially was resolved today in the eyes of Brad Treliving and the Flames. And officially, Peters resigned. I didn't see that coming. And honestly, I think the Flames are kind of trying to have their cake and eat it too. Like, we're being thorough. We're getting to the bottom of it. But they never had to fire him. And I think optically, it probably would have been better for them to fire him and say, we don't accept this. We're moving on. I got to believe clearly the lawyer's involved. There's legalese involved.
Right.
But what's your impression of how it got to this point? Why it was a resignation as opposed to a firing?
Well, no one is confirming this part of it. We're certainly trying to find out. But if you're asking me for my gut on this, I think it's exactly that, is that the lawyers are involved, and I would have to think this is more about this being a settlement in terms of the two parties going their separate ways. You know, he was owed this year and next at around $2 million U.S. a year. So the question is, how much of that does he get? You know, I brought this up back on Tuesday on Insider Trading, that a lot of people around the league, aside from the, you know, the bigger picture social ramifications of something this terrible happening and the impact that that's going to have, there's a financial part to this and a potential precedent-setting financial part, right? In terms of coaches normally always getting the rest of their contracts paid out in full when they get fired, a lot of people around the league examining how this was going to play out. Now, again, I haven't confirmed that there's been a settlement, but it just sort of smells that way right now to me.
What about the league? If it's over for Calgary, I guess, is it over for the league? I know the league has quite a wide berth of rights if they want to, you know, suspend or punish or banish or whatever for a variety of reasons. Where do you think they go for Bill Peters? And how much is this related to the Akeem LU situation? And also then, what about the Carolina situation? Because there's, you know, there's probably going to be, there could be more of that than hopefully the Akeem LU situation.
Yeah. I mean, the column I wrote today, MJ, in The Athletic was trying to wrap
Of course
mind
I read
around.
It, Pierre. Of course I did. Yeah. Well, every day.
You don't have to. But, you know, trying to wrap my mind around what this week has meant for the sport and the league and where it goes from here. And, you know, there are a number of coaches who simply didn't want to go on the record with me. They're trying to take the temperature of the room here and figure out where all this is headed as far as, you know, more stuff coming out, I guess. And you know, the guys I've reached out to, I don't think I have anything to worry about. But my point is everyone's trying to figure out what all this is. And the point of my column is that I think for the time being, there's going to be more tough weeks like this where right. more revelations are going to be made. And that has to happen, I think, for part of the healing to happen. But on the other side of all of this, I'm just hoping that we just have a better workplace environment in the NHL and in other levels for players to be part of. You know, Bruce Boudreau, who did speak to me on the record for the piece, had some, you know, really good stories about what it was like for him and player when he played for the Leafs in the 70s and for other teams. And he mentioned how Joe Crozier, when he was his coach, no one was allowed to speak on the bench. Everyone shut up. I'm the only voice. Like, that's what it went like. And his point was that, you know, there's been a lot of things to think about over the years as far as how, you know, players have been treated and how coaches and players should have certain relationships. And I think, you know, if there's anything positive to come out of what's been a really heavy week, it's the fact that I think the game has to resemble society as far as how people deal with each other. And I think that will be the impact of all this.
I'm waiting to hear from Bettman in some capacity. I mean, this even dating back to the Cherry story, obviously mm-hmm. this Peters story, there's a lot of other stories that appear to be in the air. And it's been a very volatile 2 or 3 weeks for the sport. And he's the commissioner. He's the voice of the league. He's the protector of the brand. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen or heard anything from Bettman. Do you expect to hear from him at some point?
I think at some point, yes, Brian. You know, as the league announced today, they're going to continue to review this matter. Even though it's closed as a Calgary Flames matter, it's not closed as a league matter. And whether or not that means any possible further action regarding Bill Peters as far as a suspension or anything else, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there because, you know, why is the league still investigating this? Or at least, you know, talking to people, including, of course, as they announced today, they plan on speaking with Akeem Aliyu, which, of course, they should. And so they're taking this quite seriously. I'm with you. At some point, I think Gary Bettman has to pronounce himself in all this. But I think for now, they want to go through the process behind the scenes and talk to a lot of different people before they do that.
Good stuff, buddy. As always, we'll do it again soon.
All right. Thanks for being not too hard on me in the Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys? That.
That's all right. We'll get you down the road when they miss the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
There's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. For the month of November, receive free winter tires with every in-stock new vehicle that is financed or leased. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or online, mapletoyota.com. All right, we'll get back into the Raptors game tonight in Orlando. Josh Lewenberg, a Raptors reporter in studio at 6 p.m. Back into the Habs and their struggles. The Leafs with a game today, game tomorrow at home against the Sabres. Maybe some Maple Leaf trivia, former Leaf, up against the Leaf fan. We'll see. If you're willing to go through that, Johnny.
Smart money's on you. 100%.
After
your performance yesterday.
I was proud of myself yesterday.
You should have been.
Although I should have known the Koliakova one. I mean, we already addressed this, yes. But like he's a buddy of mine. He's a colleague. I would not have known it. Growing up. It was almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So I won't live that one down anytime soon. The Andy Petrillo one again. I know she addressed that today, and I spoke with her. It's a greasy move by the grappler to include Andy. We all love Andy, but...
incredibly greasy.
It was definitely only a curveball.
Only bested by, counting off the same six people you mentioned, offering up no one else, and then saying it's seven.
Yeah. Winning by idiocy. Idiocy and default.
And something I got called out for earlier today was if I was going to include Andy Petrillo, I had to include Lindsey Hamilton and Dennis Bayak as well.
Well, you could go exactly.
Could go way down the road.
Sam Mitchell, if it's MLSE, like if that's but what
if
we're
it's
talking
just the
about.
Leafs, Dennis Bayak played for the Leafs. Or, right. Played for, or worked for the Leafs.
Called the games.
Lindsey Hamilton worked for the Leafs.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
I stand by your six.
That's what it was.
I think you are correct.
Thank you. All right, Overdrive continues. Just for the record, we have a winner. The Florida giveaway, courtesy of BookSeats.com. Called in. Shout out to Kyle. I'm sure he was excited. There you go.
Nice.
And listen, we're still giving out more giveaways as we go forward.
That's
you got
a quick turnaround.
You got 10 minutes and 50 seconds, man. You better be listening live. You better get on that. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050 and at BookSeats.com. Mike Johnson in here. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050, online, tsn1050.ca. All right, Josh Lewenberg will join us, Raptors reporter at 6 p.m. Whole NBA shut down yesterday, but they're back in action today. The Raptors taking on Orlando. And it was Josh that dug up that stat. We've talked extensively about it. A new NBA record, 33 wins in a row at home in Toronto against your division.
That's ridiculous.
Which...
I don't care how bad the division is. You got a couple softies over the years. And Toronto's been generally a good team.
Yeah, for 5 years.
But
and it's
not,
3 years.
But not to that extent. They're, they're not the Warriors. They're not going undefeated at home. They're losing, whatever, 7, 8, 9 games a year at home.
That's who they knocked off the mantle.
That's
Golden State. Golden State had won 32 in a row from like 2017 through 2019, it is.
One year, they only lost one or two. The 73-win year, they only lost one or two at home the whole year.
Right.
So you're going...
And it was against good teams.
39-2 at home, however many against within the division.
Right. But that is truly a remarkable stat. I mean, that is one that... I think it goes both ways. Like, I want to pump the tires of the Raptors.
Division, good Raptors.
But there's a part of me that it can't help but look at the other side of it and say, how could none of these other four teams find a way to get a win?
Yeah.
Like, how could they not do that? This is what we do on radio.
What's happening right now?
Well, the grappler's bringing the chair in and the mic in, which I guess we could have done in the break, but we didn't do that. We might do some trivia here. We did this around this time yesterday, and to keep it consistent. So
all right.
Every time he comes in, he's going to put the mic in.
Oh, he's coming for himself.
Well, he's going to basically moderate the whole thing.
I thought he was coming in to tee up Josh's spot for him.
Well, that's in half an hour. I guess we can just leave it here.
I thought he was just being proactive.
We're on radio.
Yeah, it doesn't. No, that could be true.
We're not on TV anymore?
We're streaming. We're always on TV. We're
people
always
can
somewhere.
Watch if they want to.
We're on Facebook and, it's everywhere. Instagram, YouTube. Everywhere you look, you can find us. You don't have to worry about that.
Okay. Good.
So, yeah, Lewenberg is coming up at 6, and we'll tee up the Raptor game with him.
I had no idea what you're doing. Like, no idea what you're coming in for.
Isn't that kind of what we talked about, is me just wandering in here? Okay.
Well, yeah, but you didn't have it set up.
But I'm not privy to your talkback. You guys are chatting when I can.
We're just
kind
of doing our own thing here.
And you guys are just springing it on me. So let's bring it. Let's go.
Okay,
late 90s Leafs trivia.
You sure you want to do this, Johnny? I mean, you don't have to, man. You can always just say, I'm out. I'd rather avoid it. You don't have to take part in this. Because
you can concede to, as O called him, some guy, I believe.
I called myself
some guy.
You called
yourself some guy.
You're just some guy.
Well, I was trying to downplay the achievement yesterday where I beat a former Maple Leaf, and now I'm taking on another one right now. But I'm quite victorious when it comes to trivia. I've never lost on the air. I'm putting myself out there. I mean, my record is on the line. I was part of the team that beat Masters and Jonas twice, and I beat Jonas a couple of months ago, right, when he was in here. Was it he and I that went on? Yeah, we took on each other when O-Dog was moderating that.
Yep.
And then yesterday, I'm like 4 or 5.
You got a shutout.
He's feeling good.
So let's go.
Okay, let's go, man.
Let's call it. I got a no-hitter and a shutout.
Grappler, you're on the clock.
Okay.
You know the rules, just to clarify.
You get to go first. If you don't get it, then I get to steal.
There you go. And we'll go back and forth until, I don't know, like 10 questions or whatever. We'll see where we're at.
Sounds like a plan.
Until you've locked it up. Yeah. It's like you'll be dormy after 10 holes.
All right. Question one for Brian. In what year did Matt Sundin become captain of the Maple Leafs?
1997.
Having the time of his life.
Because that would have been when you just showed up, right? Like
that was the beginning of, I played in March, yeah, played 13 games, and it was just prior to my first rookie year.
There better not be a lot of late 90s.
No, that's the big, there's a couple that might be in here, so okay. I'll have to slide right. Those your way.
All right.
Okay, good.
No. Go down the list, and if they're there, they're there.
That's all right. Fun. Question two, Hayes on the board, 1-0.
Yeah.
Mike.
Yes.
During the 1980s, how many winning seasons did the Maple Leafs have?
80 to 89. 10 years winning seasons. They had ties back then. They had two.
Wrong.
Three.
Wrong.
Zero. None. Ah. It was a rough decade.
I knew it was a bad decade, but I thought they had two or three.
Makes it a couple.
I thought you hit it. I'm like, there's no. That's why I had to go above two.
Because that Norris division wasn't that strong. Either no. Detroit was awful in the 80s, right? Chicago was good. St. Louis, the other team in there. Like they're,
yeah. The Leafs still made the playoffs a fair amount of times.
Because four of the teams made it every year.
Yeah.
I guess sub 500.
The Leafs were in. Like they were constantly in the playoffs, or it felt that way anyway.
An educated guess.
Right. God, that's what an awful decade. That actually puts it into perspective, because I'll have this argument sometimes with my dad, and it's a generational thing. Mm-hmm. From 05 through 2015, I've always claimed worst decade, you know, darkest period in time, and he's always
not
said you have no idea how bad it was in the 80s because Ballard was the owner,
right?
To you know, and it was just ugly.
When I was little, I was so in the 80s when I was like 9-10 years old, I played for the Toronto Marlies, and we got to practice once a month at the Gardens. We practiced like 8:30 in the morning on a Saturday, and the Leafs would be on their morning skate at 10, so we get to play with those, so like the Builder Legos and the Francis Gettys and the Ferg, like they come out and skate around with us. I still remember to this day.
Just cruising around
just
the Gardens.
Just hacking darts in the before they got out there. No buckets in the morning skate.
Out the night before.
Brilliant.
Just burning off rubber.
All right, back to trivia.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. We got off track there.
Yeah. All right.
That happens from time to time. Okay, question three, Brian up 1-0. Who on the Maple Leafs scored the OT winner in Game 3 of the 2001 Stanley Cup playoffs to beat the Ottawa Senators? First round, I should have clarified there.
I feel like there were multiple OT winners, but the guy...
Is it Game 3?
Game 3.
Because it's so random, it has to be Corey Cross.
You the real MVP.
It had to be, right? Because Matt scored an OT winner, I think, in that round as well.
He did. Joe Neuendijk squeezed one through the five-hole lead.
That wasn't an 0-1, that was 0-4, I believe. You are going to get smoked here, I think.
Yeah. I was in the league. I wasn't paying attention to what was going on with the Leafs. I was so sour at them for trading me. I wasn't watching their playoff runs.
All right.
All right. Brian up 2-0. MJ.
Yeah. Can I press?
Who holds the Maple Leafs record for most career penalty minutes?
For most career penalty minutes. Got to be Ty.
Yes, guys.
Well, Tiger Williams, maybe. I thought maybe a conversation.
Ty.
Not like, a baby Ty.
Domi had like 300 a year.
Oh, yeah. No, he
used to joke
close.
When he would go late in the year, and I don't know if he had a bonus or something for getting to 200 or 250 or 300, because late in the year, he would pick up 10s like candy.
Would bonuses like that still exist now?
No, there's no such thing anymore.
Okay, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, like a 10-minute. You got to basically... Well, like
he would, at the end of every game, he'd slash someone or fight someone, and then chirp the ref, and basically just to the point where it was an understanding.
Yeah.
Just give me the 10 and we'll stop.
Right. I'm leaving once
I'm leaving, so let's just get on with it.
Okay.
All right. Attaboy, Ty.
I like it. There
on
you
the
go.
Board.
He's on the board. Question five, Brian up 2-1. Brian, who is the last Maple Leafs head coach to be named Coach of the Year?
Wow.
Can I buzz into steal?
I think Pat Burns won it. Is it Burns?
Because he's the only coach with three Coach of the Years with three original six teams.
He went in Boston, too?
Boston.
He won it in Montreal, I'm sure.
Boston, something like that?
Yeah, him.
Or maybe he's won it three different times. Three
with
different
Jersey,
teams.
I not figured original he probably won it.
Three times with three teams?
Not bad. Hall of Famer, Pat.
All right,
Burns.
Well, you'll take it.
Okay, yeah.
I was going to buzz in. Honestly, I was on that one.
I'm not a huge fan of my questions today. I used the best ones yesterday because, I mean, there was no original plan to do it today. And right. Now I'm just scraping at the bottom of the barrel.
That's fine. All right. I mean, well, it's all good.
People he's got them all right. So he's
playing along. I like it. It's going very well.
All right, Brian up 3-1. MJ, this is for you. Which goalie has won the most games for the Maple Leafs?
Most games.
In franchise history?
Franchise history?
This may have been mentioned. Actually, I'm not going to.
Just no more comments. You can't add comments.
You're right.
Come on,
Grapples.
I'm going to
I'm going to say Johnny Bauer.
No? This guy's such an idiot here.
Oh, thanks, Phil.
That is surprising. That's who I figured it would be. I'm trying to think of who was here long enough.
Yeah, it's not, not Eddie or Cat or Cujo because they didn't play here long enough.
Turk Broda?
Having the time of his life.
Turk Broda.
Yes.
Yeah. Who is a grit grinder.
Okay.
All right, right Brian, away. You're up 4-2. This one's for you. Mm-hmm. Who did the Maple Leafs defeat in their first game at the ACC in 99?
They played the Habs, didn't they? Yeah, Montreal.
You're the real MVP.
No, I was in that game.
You were playing
that,
in that game.
I was worried about that question coming
Stumpy,
to you.
Stumpy, OT.
I'm glad it didn't go that way.
Yeah. There you go. All right.
Moving on. Brian up, what is it, 4-2 now? 5-2?
4-1, I think. I don't think. Is Johnny 4-1.
Is it 4-1?
Yeah. This might be Dormy.
It's getting close.
It's getting ugly.
I'm not going to lie to you. I think I've got every one of yours correct.
Well, talk to the grappler then, man.
Right. I should have taken the first. Should have elected to receive.
I know.
All right. On January 4th, 2007, Alex Steen had his first career hat trick against which team?
Oh. How would you ever know that?
I'm in the league. Like, I think it's noteworthy when Alex Steen gets a hat trick?
Absolutely.
Against which team? I mean, I would say Winnipeg because his dad played there, but Winnipeg wasn't even in the league in 2007.
That's that is the most random trivia question.
Buffalo.
No guy.
Like, I'm
not upset I don't know that.
No.
I would be embarrassed if I did.
The only reason I can think of this possibly being a question is that it's
St. Louis because he got traded there?
No.
Okay. No guy.
Boston Bruins.
How would anybody know that?
How is that a pertinent question?
Where did you find that?
How's that tied into to anything?
It's trivia. What do you mean, where did I find it?
No, I know, but it's such a random player. Like, it would be one thing if
Who did Mats get a hat trick goal for his 500th?
Exactly.
Okay.
That was
we
a big
We can talk
moment.
About that.
Right. Okay. That is it's just such a strange trivia question.
No, that's fine. It's a sewer job for both of you.
It's fine. You stumped us both.
It's all right. It's my question. I'm delighted.
It's all good.
All right. Is it 4-1 still?
It's 4. Should we just give this next one to MJ, too, see if he can make a bit of a run here?
Yeah. Double down.
No.
Okay.
You don't want pity?
I don't want any sympathy votes.
Okay. No pity.
No pity.
All right. If Brian gets this, it's over.
That's fine.
All right. Following the 1999-2000 season, Maple Leafs goaltender Curtis Joseph won an award. What was that award?
Well, if it was just him, couldn't be the Jennings because that is him and his backup. So, the Masterton?
Wrong.
Clancy?
Yes, sir! Ooh,
the Clancy.
The King Clancy.
Hello, community service.
The Clancy.
How are we doing?
That doesn't even count as an award.
It does, and it's full bonus potential.
The Clancy.
Masterton and Clancy, full bonus for major awards when you used to have them.
Wow.
Yes.
The Clancy. Shout out to Cujo.
Attaboy.
All right, you're on the
MJ
board.
Making
I got
us Ty
and Cujo. That's what I got.
Ty and Cujo.
Unless I play with you, I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Let's see what you got.
MJ, which Maple Leaf center was nicknamed the Chief?
It was Armstrong.
Yes, sir!
George Armstrong.
I was like,
yeah. I went, okay.
No, I was like, yeah.
It was, you weren't fully committed to it.
I was like, yeah.
Is this something right. else? No, trick questions here. None at all.
Okay.
All right, Brian, this one's yours.
It's 4-3 now.
It's 4-3.
Just for the record.
Yep.
Did I have 4? I thought I had 5.
No, settle down.
I had 4.
4-3. Hometown scorekeeping.
All right. What Leaf won the Calder Trophy in 1947?
Oh, shoot. I know this is for the win. I know this.
Oh, my man. 19 no, when?
I got it.
47.
I'm buzzing in.
1947. I think I got it.
Oh, God, if you get this.
Mahovlich?
No.
No guy.
Is it Britt Selby?
No.
No guy.
Who?
Howie Meeker.
Howie Meeker.
The Meek. I was going to go the last Leaf to win the Rookie of the Year was Britt Selby.
No, because Matthews won.
Until Austin Matthews did it.
Oh, yes. I see.
Are those related to me? Because I was going to be the next guy off of after Selby or whatever.
Yeah, that was Howie Meeker. That's a tough one.
I went to his hockey camp.
Howie Meeker?
Yes.
No way.
Trinity College, Port Hope. Stop it right there. Was he did a little video session, yeah.
Did he come out? Like,
yeah.
Look at that.
I was like 9, 10 years old.
Howie Meeker, what
I will
legend.
Fully admit to having no idea who Howie Meeker was until I typed out that trivia question.
Oh, he's a legend, man. Right. Is he on Legends Row? Is Howie Meeker on Legends Row? I don't...
Why don't we ask you? You know all the trivia.
No, that would have been a great trivia.
Could you name that Legends Row?
I couldn't name it, no.
That could be the bonus pool. Like, just have all 10 guys and just keep counting them off until you don't get them.
Is there 10? I don't even know how many. I think there's 10.
I clearly have no idea.
Yeah. Like, I know Wendell and Matz, Salming, Sittler.
Yeah.
Obviously, Johnny? Keon, Bauer.
Mahav.
I don't know.
Armstrong?
I don't think Armstrong. He might be.
No.
I don't know. Yeah, we're
grasping now. So
anyway,
all right,
good stuff, Grappler.
So that's it. You won again.
Yeah, I'm undefeated.
We have one more question, but it's...
So it's 5-3 for you. So it's
4-3.
Well, I didn't get that right. Yeah.
Oh, so I can tie this up.
Yeah, you can tie it up.
That was your question, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it was. I said Mahomlich. Right. Okay, go on.
You want to shot for the tie?
Yeah, I want
to tie it up. It's such an easy one, too.
Oh, I'm going to miss it then.
All right.
Let's see.
How many times in franchise history have the Maple Leafs had the first overall pick since the NHL entry draft was incepted? Is that a word?
Since inception?
Since its inception.
There we go.
That's not. Since it was intercepted.
This is our trivia in a nutshell.
Okay. How many times? Austin. Wendell. I mean, when it was 67 when it started? I don't even know when it started.
Hey there, Grapples.
Yeah,
no.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Right. I've got a reputation to uphold here.
All right. Just for the tie. So, I'm missing something. Let's run it back. There's nothing before. I got Wendell to now is 2. I know that much. Before Wendell, did they have first overall? I'm going to say 2.
Yes, guy.
Yes, guy. He worked it through.
Wow. The comeback from Leafs 2013, the 4-1 lead.
Okay. I know. I am just blowing 4-1 leads here.
I love it.
All right, we'll come back and we'll get the deciding question.
Right.
Okay. Josh Lumenberger, Raptors reporter in studio at 6. We'll get back into the Raptor game tonight. Talk about a number of things throughout the NBA. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Josh Lumenberger, Raptors reporter in the next hour. He'll be in here at 6. The Raptors taking on the Magic tonight. It feels like they play every third game, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
Whenever they can play Orlando, they play Orlando. And we had Nick Nurse on yesterday, and he said, you know, they were down there, they were doing a Thanksgiving thing yesterday. I think the whole, like, the families were going down and everything.
Nice.
And it's a pretty good time to be down in Orlando. A very good time to be a Raptor. 13-4.
It's very impressive. Well, ask Josh, because do you remember, I was on the show, this show with you, when he had that comment at the end of preseason about, we got to get some guys who figure it out, and they don't know, they haven't figured it out yet, or they won't play if they, whatever.
Playing defense.
The gist of it, playing defense. And all of a sudden, all these guys come out to play defense. They've been fantastic.
They have been, and it has been shocking how consistent they played on both ends of the court with these type of injuries. Like, I was expecting championship hangover, Kawhi leaving. That's going to be, you know, kind of an existential moment. Who are we? What are we capable of doing?
Yeah.
And I said during the summer and leading up to camp, I thought they were absolutely a playoff team.
45 wins, 5 or 6 seed.
I thought they could be top 4 or 5.
Yeah,
I really did.
Yeah.
It is weak. There's 4 teams, maybe 5 teams.
Yeah.
But I thought it would take them a while to kind of get going. I thought they'd be a second-half team.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they've started the season, all things considered, there's been some great starts. You know, the Lakers have had a great start, the Clippers, the Celtics, obviously Milwaukee's getting wins. But I don't think there's been a better start or a more impressive start when you consider all of the variables in play. Kawhi Leonard leaving. Danny Green started every game and was a veteran presence and, you know, a perimeter defender and a guy that you could trust. He's out. Lowry injured, Ibaka injured for long stretches. Patrick McCaw, no point available to you. And for them to come out and play this way. And the road games that they've had, like to go 3-2 on that trip.
5-game road trip out west is a killer for any team from the East.
Yeah, I can't think of a more impressive start in the NBA.
No.
And I'm genuinely surprised it's been this good, this flawless. And maybe I shouldn't be. Maybe that was not paying enough attention to who they really are at their core as an organization because they have that aura to them.
That's so intangible, and it feels like it's hard for me to buy. I get it. Listen, I never won a Stanley Cup, so I don't know what it, you know, what that does to a group or how much belief that puts anyone or how much Masai Ujiri can establish a culture or an expectation or whatever you want to term it. But basketball, more than any other sport, is about the players you have. Like, it's probably less about feel-good stories, about, like, do you have great players? And it's the most individual of the team sports. Well, baseball. But, like, about football and basketball and hockey. Basketball is the most individually based sport of the three.
Yep.
So when you take out those individuals, I think the adjustment was to be expected. So it's been fun to watch. And it's not like they've just been doing it solely with defense. And they've been scoring.
No, they're top 10. Well. They're top 10 on both sides of the ball.
Now, I guess what we probably should or have learned over the first, 6 weeks is how much that playoff run did for Siakam.
Well, exactly.
And Van Fleet.
Yeah.
Because those guys, Siakam was good last year anyways, but you know, you weren't sure, could he be a one? Could be a guy who carries the team? Could he play those minutes? Could he be a big dog? Could he take the ball and demand it? And I watched the games, and it doesn't seem, when the Raptors play well, they have a pretty fluid offense. Not a lot of ISO stuff where he just kind of pounds it down.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't feel as alpha as Harden or Kobe, or like, just kind of give me the ball and get out of the way. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it. It's kind of within the context of their offense. But those two guys, to me, maybe we should have seen this growth. I wasn't sure if it was there because Van Fleet was kind of up and down last year. Great in the final, but he had
a terrible season
until he went back to Indy. Chicago, but I think he was going down to Indy to have it, wasn't he?
Yep.
After the kid, he was amazing.
He was, but even that, like against Orlando in the first round, nothing. Like you couldn't play him.
Yeah.
Early in the Philly series, couldn't play him. Like could not put Fred on the court. Was putting up nothing, bringing nothing.
Couldn't make a shot.
Then all of a sudden, he started hitting shots halfway through the Philly series, and it just carried. And it has carried over to this season. And with Kawhi and Green leaving, that opened the door for him to start, sure, which he was doing early in the season.
Kyle getting hurt.
Then Lowry gets injured, and everything's got to go through him. And Van Vliet has proven that he has arrived in the NBA. Siakam is a legit star. He may not check off the boxes of superstar yet, because that's more about branding and selling tickets and everything. But he is a guy,
like, in the efficiency ratings,
he's a top 12 or 15 player in the NBA.
I don't look at the analytics in basketball the way I do in hockey, mm-hmm, but it feels like that he should be up there. And I didn't know he could shoot. Like, he doesn't shoot a ton
from range,
but like he's been hit from outside this year. I didn't see that extension of his game.
He went 5 for 8 the other night.
I know.
From three. Like,
I know.
Five for eight is like, that's Klay Thompson type numbers.
That's Steph.
That's what Steph puts up. And that's been the biggest change.
J.J. Redick special.
And there's nothing else. Like, that's what he shot that night. It was 5 for 8 because he only took 8 3-pointers.
For JJ,
in the paint.
No.
Nothing. No layups.
Never
getting to the line.
Never sees anything but the wood-colored floor.
And he's just a stop-and-shoot guy. Hit me and I'm up.
I saw the thing. He's never missed the playoffs.
Redick?
Yeah.
And he went to Duke. So
he's done nothing but win.
Nothing but win.
12, 13 years in his career.
Yeah. I think he was a four-year guy at Duke,
but
too.
He signed to play with Zion.
That's not working out for him.
Not yet.
Josh Lundberg, our Raptors reporter, in the next hour. We'll get back into the Leaf game, the Habs, what's going on in Montreal, and we'll wrap up trivia as well in the final segment. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.